pleasure for me to introduce our, I can't really call you a guest because you're family, so, but on the call tonight we have Rick Williams, Vice President of the Universe, and you know we usually have Rick on a couple of times a year, and specifically right before we have one of our major events, be that convention or leadership school. And what we wanted to share with you tonight was some insights on the updates concerning what's going to be happening at convention, but specifically to look at that in the context of your goal achievement and perhaps some necessary goal realignment. And I think when we start this, generally we look at convention and leadership school as specific events, you know, that occur once a year. But the reality, I think, is the exposure and the training is really part of the overall business plan. Because the plan is based on the system, and the training is part of the system that actually focuses on increasing our individual capabilities and, perhaps more importantly, our capacity to reach other people and offer them a viable plan B. So welcome to the call, Rick. I'm really glad you were able to spend some time with us this evening.
Okay, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be able to take some time out and talk with the individuals in this performance forum specifically. Yeah, I know we have our own unique needs there and challenges and so on and so forth. And I wish always that I could spend more time and be on more of these calls, but certainly it's always a pleasure to come on and share whatever I can that can contribute, hopefully, to the success of someone's business. So it's a pleasure for me to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay. And what I wanted to start with was, I know that you've been through several conventions now.
Yeah.
And I know that we have some new people on the call as well, but what do you recommend generally for someone to do before they go to convention in order to maximize the time they spend in Greensboro? And I guess what I'm really looking for is for people not to just be there for the show. And I have a quick example. I had my little guy, Elijah, my grandson, of course, over the house last weekend, and we're working on washing your hands after you go to the bathroom, you know. All of 6 years old and decides when he wants to do certain things. And this was a real challenge because at his other grandparents' house, they didn't necessarily do that all the time. And so we came up with this agreement that he would wash his hands and sing, you know, the happy birthday song. Because if you sing the song that amount of time, you're supposed to have your hands clean. I hear Elijah in there, and he's just singing his little heart out, right? He comes out, just did not look to me like the boy washed his hands. I said, Elijah, come here. And he said, yes, my mom. I said, did you wash your hands in the bathroom? He looked at me, didn't want to just flat out lie. I said, give me your hands. Of course, you know, there was no water still on there, no smell of soap. I said, Elijah, you did not wash your hands. He said, well, I was going to. I said, get back in there and wash your hands, right? Now, what did he do? He had the show. He was there. He was in the bathroom. He was singing the song. He even had the water running. But he didn't no more wash his hands than a man in the moon. Sometimes people will spend the airfare, which is not inexpensive. I think the tickets from here are $500 this year, thanks to fuel surcharges. The convention ticket, the hotel, food cost, and still really not be there to maximize. They're really just there for the show. So how do you think they can maximize that time to more than make their money back?
That's a very, very good question, T. And just as you were talking about little Elijah, I have two daughters of my own, so I sort of can relate to the story that you're telling there. But you know, if I can, I want to explain a little bit, a couple of things here. If I can just use an analogy, I think kind of holds true to the convention as well is, you know, sometimes it's like individuals who go to church on Sundays and they go there and they enjoy the music and certain things that go on at that particular service, but unfortunately a lot of them leave out the same way they came in.
Right.
And so when they go to work on Mondays, they're facing some of the same things they always face on Mondays, but they're no better prepared to deal with them than they were last week.
There you go, preparation.
And quite naturally, it's the same thing with the convention. First of all, you need to assess where you are and where your opportunities for improvement are. How am I going to go there and improve my own personal confidence? What am I going to take away from this event that's going to make me better in my objective to build a more successful business for myself? Quite naturally, it's going to be the normal things that are always there. There's going to be some music playing. There's going to be, you know, a lot of excitement and energy, and those things are certainly necessary, and those things are good. But we have to really understand what things should I really be partaking in, what areas I really need to listen to. I would certainly recommend that people definitely take advantage of the trainings and look at also in what areas am I building my business. Take a true and honest assessment of yourself and what you're doing with your business. And don't be persuaded or swayed by what everybody else is doing. Because what everybody else is doing might not be what you're doing. And it might not be able to benefit you in the way that you need that type of benefit. If you are not currently building websites, you might not need to take, unless you have, you know, have a aspiration of building a business on websites, that might not be something that you want to sit through. You have to be able to assess that. And you might not, it might not be to your advantage to be to that booth unless you're interested in doing that type of thing.
That's a really good point, because a lot of people will go just wander and say, well, I'm going to stop at this booth and I'm going to spend 30 minutes in this line. And I actually saw some people at the last event talking to the website people. These people had not even set up their own portal.
There you go.
And did not even have a laptop computer or any sort of access to a computer other than going to the library, and yet they were intent on moving into web centers because that went on special.
Exactly. And then look at, you know, when I say how you run your business, look at your retail business. How many people do you have like TA Center right now that are purchasing from your web portal?
And
when you think about things like that, how many people are purchasing from your web portal? What are your, again, where is your clientele doing business with you? Look at it from the perspective also as, hey, you know, I'm pretty good in retail, but man, I'm just having some difficulty recruiting. I don't know, I'm having some difficulty walking up to people. Then you might want to pay more attention to when we have a segment on how do you build your business, a segment on the basic five, particularly as it pertains to proper recruiting, if that's the area that you feel is an opportunity that you need to improve in. Know what your strengths are. And here's one thing I want to point out. A lot of good reading out there right now. Concentrate on your strengths. Improve your weaknesses, certainly. Acknowledge them and you want to improve them, but concentrate on your strengths. It's going to make you even better at what you're doing. If you are strong in retailing, you need to be in every type of retail presentation we're going to do to make you even stronger. Pay close attention to the new products that we're going to present, you know, during convention to see if this is something that your clientele would be interested in. Truthfully interested in.
You know, that's a really good point, Rick, because there's a lot more people now who are starting to teach people that you need to play to your strengths.
That's it.
That reminds me of Robert used to always say, find out what people are willing to do and help them do that exceedingly well.
There you go.
And sometimes we miss the focus and we think, well, I need to learn all of this. No, you don't need to learn everything.
You
simply need to focus on what you will do and are able to do well. And it's funny you mentioned that highlighting piece, because in addition to some new people attending the convention, there are obviously people on the call who this is their third, fourth, or even more convention, and they haven't achieved their goals. And I think that highlighting particular sessions is absolutely critical. And, of course, the schedule is still subject to change. But, for an example, if you are struggling in the recruiting area, like Rick mentioned, then there's absolutely no reason for you to be in the hallway when Elizabeth is presenting the 1032 program.
There you go.
You absolutely have to be in your seat. In the same respect, you have to be in your seat, no matter if you're struggling in recruiting or retailing. Everybody has to be in their seat when JR is talking. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it goes. But if you're really wanting to expand your retail, then you need to be in your seat when they're talking about the enhancements to the portal. And if you're specializing in the transition store, then of course you need to be there when Dr. Lieberman is presenting. And we have to think about these things before we get there, or else, as Rick was saying, you can just get caught up in the momentum, if you will, and wind up spending time and leaving convention Sunday and not really having gotten the specific tools that you need to move forward.
I have one more thing to you. The thing where I totally don't want to give anyone the wrong impression. You want to go there and you want to get the information and gather it, and you want to enjoy yourself as well, but keep in mind, this is not a vacation. It should not be, okay, I'm going on vacation to Greensboro, North Carolina. First of all, Greensboro is not going
to
be a vacation anyway. But number two, if you're going
to
do that, take your spouse and spend the money and go on a cruise and just enjoy yourself the whole time. Because like T.A. is saying, you know, a lot of times we walk out around the corridor and you see people out there the whole, every time I go out there, I see the same people. Mm-hmm. Thinking, well, the show's on the inside.
And you can tell if a person is serious about building their business. We're not saying that you don't have to take restroom breaks and you don't have to go get something to eat. Of course, we all have to do that, and I think we all understand what we're talking about. The reality is, if you're out there in the hall and you want to stop me or Rick or anybody else and start asking a lot of different questions about how to build your business, that's sort of working at cross purposes, because they're showing you how to build your business inside. And when you think about the goals that you all have, and this is why we wanted to tie this convention to goal achievement, realignment, whatever it is you need to do, you know, and Rick, I know you can speak to this piece. Why do you think some people who go to convention with perhaps that said goal in retailing, prospecting, or recruiting, but then when they come back, they don't consistently work their action plan? Do you think it's because they aren't really focusing on getting the right information from convention, or they're not applying that information to their particular daily action plan?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I really think it's the latter. They are just not applying it to their daily action plan. I always hear people all the time, here's the thing. We're going to be selling so many things at convention and things that will help. There are a lot of tools that Mark America certainly offers that are beneficial. No tool will help you until you get yourself in the proper mindset, the proper attitude to take advantage of them. Again, it's just like buying athletic equipment in your home. You can buy treadmills and sit-up machines and certain and so forth, but you're not going to use them until your mindset is at a point where it's like, okay, fine, I have made up my mind, and I'm committed that I'm going to work out, I'm going to get in shape, or whatever whatever your goals may be. It doesn't matter what tools you buy. It's all about your attitude. It's your mindset. The success or failure of any man or woman can be found in their daily routine. What are you going to consistently do? Make up your mind, you know, even doing a bit, forget the convention, just make up your mind, period, about building this business. What am I going to give up in order to be successful in this business? Yeah. And unfortunately, I think more times than not, people just feel good about the fact that they're doing it. Just like they feel good while they're in church and people are singing. Feels real good.
Mm-hmm.
But then, by the time 60 minutes comes on, when that music is wore off,
right.
What do you have?
It's a whole different story.
It's a whole different ball game. And so, again, I would just encourage everyone to just get serious and get focused. Make up your mind. Commit to yourself. You owe it to yourself. If you're spending the money to get down to Greensboro, North Carolina, and spending money to go to convention on hotel and food and so forth, please, please, you owe it to yourself to take advantage of everything that we're offering there. Tell your partner you'll see him back at the hotel. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. Because we want to socialize, but we have to put business first. And the reality, like you said about this being a business trip, those of us who are going to claim it on your taxes, you're not claiming this as a vacation.
Right.
You're going to claim this as a business expense. And I really appreciate your sharing about the part where you have to apply. You have to apply what you're doing, or else it just looks like the showpiece. And especially speaking to that room in your house where you have all this wonderful exercise equipment.
Yeah.
I probably have 3 exercise balls.
They become clocks. You lay close.
A stationary bike. All this sort of stuff. But still thinking about the show, I took, again, Elijah with me to the BX one weekend, and there was this really nice kind of green and white Nike exercise outfit. And I stopped at that section of the store, and I was looking at it, and he's in the cart, and he said, "What is that, my mom?" And I said, "Well, these are some exercise clothes I'm looking at so that I might buy these for exercising." That little boy looked at me, and he said, "But you don't exercise that much, mom." I would have said to him, you know, that was being smart mouth, but the reality is that was true. And he knew that because he played with the exercise balls when he's over here. So, yes, I had all this equipment. Yes, I was at convention, but I wasn't prepared to work out. I wasn't prepared. And until I get prepared, it doesn't matter what cute outfits you have, how much equipment you have, it isn't going to matter. And in terms of people maximizing the convention, when you were talking about changing that mindset, don't you think that particular sessions, especially this time with when JR is going to be updating the 90-day fast track presentation, that would be a particularly useful time for someone who's struggling with how do they implement the goals that they have when they haven't been successful today?
It's going to be very, very beneficial. That 90-day fast track is awesome. Personally,
right.
When I started building the business market America, that's the only thing I listen to, to be honest with you. Over and over and over and over and over again until it became just a part of me, where it's a thing where you don't even think about it because these things become habitual. And, of course, as you know, if you get to a certain age, you won't be able to help it. And so you get to a point where this is just what you do. You don't even think about it. I've got to do this every single day. I'm going to be successful. I mean, you get to a point where if you don't make a phone call and you fall asleep, you wake up.
That's exactly right. And I think that there are some people who haven't been wanting to do the 90-day fast track because they said, well, the tape is outdated. But the reality is, even though he's going to update this with the new technologies, if you will, and the new tools that we have available, the plan is still the plan is still the plan. And it's going to be based on what you said. When you leave convention, you still have to commit to working this business every day, doing your minimum 8 to 10 hours a week for the 2 to 3 years if you're going to get the level of success that you say you really want.
And there is no secret. There is no, you know, quick way to do it. It's going to take, you know, the necessary effort that you have to apply every single day. But I'm telling you right now, if you do that consistently on a daily basis, you're going to get the results that you're looking for.
And I think it's important for people to understand that the 90-day fast track doesn't mean you work for 90 days and then you stop and you do nothing else.
Exactly.
You're going to really build your business in 90-day increments. You're going to work this 90 days and then you're going to continue to work the next 90 days. And during that second 90 days, you're going to get the results from your first 90 days as long as you keep moving forward and building on the existing momentum. Now, Rick, you spoke a minute ago about the importance of somebody attending with that sort of plan in their mind about what it is they expect to go home with. Now, what do you have to share when people are going to the convention thinking, well, I'm going to find this secret or I'm going to find this one technique, be it Elizabeth's presentation or JR's presentation? If you could speak for a minute about how much more people can take away from the convention if they go there with the mindset of what can I learn to help other people, be it with the income-generating possibilities or the product possibilities?
Well, see, that's an excellent point because, see, the bottom, all of a sudden, in building this business, it's not getting paid on what you do. You might not even be in a direct selling industry.
Just right.
Paid on what you do. But the beauty of being in a direct selling industry type of business like Market America is the fact that you can feed on the volume. So if you can't teach people to do what you're doing, you're not going to be real successful anyway. But I think even from an attitude perspective, there's something to be said. And this is just me talking. You know, I do a lot of teaching as well, and I've found that you study much harder.
Don't
you know it back and forth when you know you have to teach it.
Absolutely, because you don't want to stand in front of other folks and not know what you're talking about.
Not know what you're talking about. And then also you have a tendency to make sure you're getting the desired results because if nothing, you want to teach something, but it looks like giving them a good example of what you did and what your results were as well. Because people will always pay more attention to what you do more than what you say.
You definitely
because what
that.
You're looking at is what you've done. Okay, now teach me what you did. So when you come to conviction with that mindset, man, I'm going to get this for myself so that I can not only learn, not only apply it, but I can show other people how to apply it as well. So I'm listening, I'm taking notes, I'm writing down, I'm making sure I understand. If it's something I don't, maybe the person next to me, I'm asking questions. You're coming to school. You know what I mean?
And I think that's a good analogy. That's the best way for people to look at it. This is continuing your education
exactly.
On your way to developing a successful business.
Exactly.
And there is no business that you can participate in where you don't have continuing education. I just had to sign up today for some more continuing legal education credits. And they're so serious about you getting your education that if you don't complete a certain number of credits within the specified period of time, you lose your license to practice law. They're not playing. You're not to be out there if you're not a competent attorney, or at least where they can check the box and say, we know this person attended this certain number of sessions. And they give you a pretty reasonable period of time. You have 3 years to get X number of credits, but if you don't get them, you don't have a license.
That kind of works. You know, in addition to the things that we've already discussed, which are I think are certainly the primary and the most important things, when you come there, I mean, you soak it up and learn as much as you can, and what you want to do is change the way you think. That's why it's so important to take notes and write these things down. Sometimes you have to reprogram yourself. Sometimes we don't think properly, and our thought process will always dictate how we act. So if you're thinking the wrong way and based on the results that you're getting, in other words, if you assess yourself right now, you're not where you want to be based on the time that you've been in this business, you might want to change the way you're thinking. Yeah, I'm not thinking right. Maybe, you know, it's just a hope to be in something that, you know, just kind of far off. Man, you've got to see your, I say it all the time, you have to start before you see it.
That's right.
You've got to see yourself on that stage. I mean, make it real. If you get a chance, sneak on down there and walk up there anyway.
That's right, hang around.
There you go. There you go. Change the way you think. Make it has to be a done deal. In other words, start thinking in terms of it's already happened. Now what I need to do is go back and walk it out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying there?
Which side of the stage am I going to walk up?
Yeah,
am I going up
exactly.
on the right or am I going up on the left? And
right.
I really like your point about taking notes.
Definitely.
Because there's so much information going on that even when you're sitting there, now you're flipping your attitude and you want to look at what is being taught in terms of what's the best way for you to share this information with other people, then you need to have something to write with because you're not going to be able to remember everything. One, you're not going to remember everything that's coming from the stage. And two, you're not going to remember all the thoughts that you're having about who you could contact to connect with on a particular presentation. So, for example, when they're talking about the prospecting and recruiting and they're talking about additional income, that's when you need to be writing down the names of people who you know are having financial troubles, who you know aren't comfortable. When they're talking about the product, even if it isn't a product that you use, think about who isn't healthy, who can or who will use timeless prescriptions. The fact that many people in our communities don't necessarily have the same issues in terms of wrinkles doesn't mean that people aren't spending billions of dollars on products like timeless prescription and Pentaxyl. So we need to be taking notes to think about at least one individual that we can contact for each of the areas that are presented, which is one of the reasons why I really like the two major events, because I think, and I'm sure you agree, Rick, that it's a great opportunity to follow up with our current customers and our previous and current distributors when we get back, and we can actually put that follow-up on our schedule before we even leave for commission.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can position that to your customer where we're going. And just like you're going to a convention, you're going to find out a lot of the product that Mark Merrick will be introducing, and I'm going to bring them back, I'm going to introduce them to you. It's almost like when you get back, there's a brand new, you ever notice that certain stores have grand openings over and over again?
Yes, you noticed that.
Have you noticed that?
Right.
How many grand openings can you have? Several. Because we got new products now.
That's right. They're introducing a new line.
Right.
That's exactly right. And it's funny that the timing for a convention is, I mean, it's always good. But in particular, what you're sharing about putting this information on your schedule and prepping your customers and distributors before you leave, that matches perfectly with Dennis's instruction in the most recent Power Line on conducting a product preview. So it's almost like he's already giving you the layout for this. All you have to do is go ahead and send out the invitations now and then host it when you get back. Even though you may not actually have the product in hand, you'll have the information, and then, of course, you can take notes, and you can take orders, answer any questions that we aren't able to answer yet about new products, and still go ahead and place people's orders for them. So it's like the system is laying everything out, but again, it gets back to what you said about the application piece, and I think another point of yours that I really want to touch back on was that self-assessment. I think that it's a great time to take the diagnostic test, the basic five diagnostic test again, before you go to convention so that you can really narrow in on those areas that you need to work on. And whenever you think about that test, people think, well, I'm only going to take the test when it comes time for me to go to be an unfranchise owner or to go for a particular challenge. But it's like you said, Rick, we really need to get some clarity on where we're struggling and where we're doing well.
Right. And you know, please don't minimize the importance of writing down your goals. That's why I wonder how many goals people really do write down and read every day. I know it sounds like, you know, an old cliche, and people don't, let me tell you something right now, write them down. That stuff works. Because keep in mind, as human beings, the way that we are built, you have to get that into your subconscious. You want to get to the point where you just become a machine. I can't help but be successful. I can't help it.
Yeah, it's just going to happen. I can't make it not happen.
There you go. And that's the mindset you want to have. You just get dogmatic, mad about it. You know what I mean? It's like, if I see one person on that stage, it's not me. I'm just going to explode. I'm just telling you this. I mean, I get so excited about this thing because I know where I was, you know? And so I tell people all the time, it's like I remember very vividly, and I don't know if I shared this with this particular form before or not, but if I did, was working here again.
Right.
Anyway, I remember I was working at Mark America, I was a manager, and I had like four or five people, seven I think it was actually, and I wrote on that business card, he gave me a business card that said manager of distributor service, I wrote on the back of that card, vice president.
That's
that was right. 1997. And I have one thing that I didn't know to you, I knew where my strengths were. I knew how to lead people. I knew how to do customer service. I understood the corporate infrastructure because I had done it with other companies. And I also knew what I did not know. I knew absolutely nothing about direct sales. So what I did was capitalize on my strengths, which would give me an opportunity to learn more about it. Next thing I know, I was on all these different boards and whatnot, at Market American, on the appeals board, and on this board, and certain and so forth. And then I learned as much as I could about Market America and the grateful industry, so I could come up with different ideas and implement new processes that would give me more visibility, which, of course, would get you promoted. And it was just a day-in, day-out thing. I had made up my mind, there's no way on the planet I'm not going to reach this goal. It's impossible. Right.
There's no way you're going to stay with this company and not get to be a vice president.
That's correct.
And I think that really speaks to the talents and skills of the people on this call, because we've come to know many of them over these few years we've been working together, and the talents and the skills are already there. They already have tremendous strengths, and they've been tremendously successful in many areas of their life. And I think it still gets back to that identifying those strengths and then developing the attitude necessary to translate those skills into the daily actions that are necessary to build this business. And a piece of what you just shared, and you could hear it in your voice when you were talking, and you and I have discussed before, the sense of urgency.
That seems
to be missing when sometimes we're going to these events. Okay, it's urgent that we get there, but we need to see beyond the event and think about the urgency of implementing and applying what we learn. It's like, back to your example about the church. If you go to church and you know that you make your contribution, you know you're supposed to tithe each time you attend, if you miss or you take off a week because you go on vacation, you don't just think the ministry stops.
Right.
You have to make up that amount. Because there's a budget that was counted on. Lights still have to be paid.
Right.
All the utilities, mission trips, all that still has to be supported. And so that same sense of urgency to making sure you comply, we somehow have to get that over into this business, that if we're going to work a 90-day fast track, if we're going to work a 2 to 3 year plan, even though we have that sort of extended timetable out there, the urgent piece has to be that I'm making a commitment to myself and I'm going to do something every single day to get there. You started out with 5 or 7 people working for you. It was never about expanding the numbers of people that you had working for you. It was always for you about making it a better organization for those that it served, which were the distributor base.
That's it. What I did to you, exactly what I think people should be doing. Pay attention to people in your organization. See, my organization were the employees at the corporate office. That was my organization. So I had to help them achieve their goals. When I helped them achieve their goals, I met my goals automatically.
And
I poured into them. And as a result, you see what I'm saying? That you pour into the people that work with you in your organization. I'm saying right now, you're going to benefit from it.
And I know that it's true. You know it's true. I know it's true. And a lot of the leaders on the call know it's true. The hardest part, though, for new people and for particularly for people who've been around for a while and haven't achieved their goals is to start to somehow internalize that the so-called slogan of when you take the focus off yourself, you have success is absolutely as true with this business as it is in the rest of our lives. And I think most of us can see, even if people look back at what they've done in their life this last year, you can usually see that you've tried to become a better family member, you know, more involved in your community. You try to do more than just meet the standard in those areas. And somehow we have to help one another decide to more than just meet the standard with this particular business. If you want to have the success that you say you want to have, then clearly you have to do more than that minimum standard of 8 hours a week.
There you go.
Okay, and that means when you go into this convention, you have to know that you need to be coming away from this with a schedule set in place that is going to have you maximizing the hours that you have available. Still, though, Rick, all getting back to what you said, not just an assessment of your strengths and an assessment of where you are with your business and how your retailing is doing and how your recruiting is doing, but a real-world assessment of how much time you really have available to commit to this business.
Right. Exactly. And you have to be honest with yourself. What do you really want? Or are you just talking? You know what I'm saying? And if you're just talking, you don't really want that much. That's fine, too. Just quit playing. You know what I mean? You know, my point that I'm trying to make here is this. If you really want to be successful in this business, you know, without anybody telling you, if I'm already doing 8 hours a week and it's, I'm not where I need to be, then 8 hours a week is probably not enough. You see what I'm saying?
And that's what's so important for people to understand. And I think, back to what you said, watching people on stage and seeing yourself already there, if you stop just listening to the music for a minute and stop just looking at the big houses and boats and whatever else is up there, listen to what many of those who are walking across that stage are saying. And most of them are saying that they made a major commitment and investment of their time and energy into this business. They're saying, I didn't watch TV for 10 months. I didn't go out on a dinner date for 8 months. I didn't take any vacations for 18 months. They're talking about what you're sharing, the details of what are you going to give up if this is what you really want. And sometimes I think convention and leadership school, they're in a way, for some people, it's like an interruption. And, well, I know that I was going to build my business, but it's almost convention, so I'm going to wait and see what new products they have. Or I'm going to wait and see what new tools they have. Or I'm going to wait and see if they finally updated the portal. Well, you know, whether or not they have, there's people making thousands and thousands of dollars off of what's already in place.
There you go.
Okay, so clearly it works.
Right. Keep in mind when the Elizabeth Webbers and the Ben Genders and the T.A. Taylor Hunts and Rob Grant and Frank Kiefer's, when they made the money to just market America, they didn't even have, there was no such thing as a web portal.
Yeah, there was no portal.
There's a lot of products that we have today, that didn't even exist.
No.
And they did it. So it's not that. They are tools. That's what, exactly what they are, tools. But a tool doesn't help you unless you already have the other things that are necessary to be successful. Ask any mechanic.
Well, and also, you can have the best tools. You can have the best tools, and if you don't know what to do with them, they're still going to have a problem, okay? And I know I can speak to that because after Robert died, I was determined to get things in order and get all these nice little tools. I bought this cutest red tuba and all of these tools from Sears, and you wouldn't believe what I have in this house right now. And I bought this wonderful drill because I saw on HGTV, you know, every home needs a drill.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I bought this stuff. I didn't have a clue how to use it.
Exactly.
And the first time I went to try to hang something, I thought I was going to put a cowbar in the laundry room. To this day, there is this huge hole in the wall where there should have been a cowbar because I didn't know a thing about finding the studs. Okay, before you use the drill to put the hole in the wall. I had wonderful tools, but misapplication resulted in disaster.
And it's true.
Okay.
The thing is, we waste. Sometimes, you know, it's funny to me because I've done the same thing. I'm better, but I'm certainly not what you would call a handyman around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I get excited too when I see stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it looks so cool.
A whole lot of them. You know, a whole, like, 100 pieces.
Me too.
Oh, I got to have that for $49.99.
Yeah, but that 100 piece
socket. Like, my wife looked at me and said, Rick, the only tool that you need is a telephone. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. You can call somebody, you come over here and fix it.
That's right. Right, but we learned.
I have no idea what they're for.
Right, but I have no clue. But we learned, and I have now a decent person who can come and do some handiwork.
Sure.
Now, if I want to play at it, that's different.
There you go.
Okay, and if you want to play at the business, that's okay. And I want that to be perfectly clear. If you want to come to convention or you want to come to leadership school and that is your breakaway from your family and that's your breakaway from the routine, then that's great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that because I really look forward to our forum meetings and some of our hallway meetings because it really is like a huge family reunion. What we're saying, though, is if you're wanting to use this vehicle to get that financial independence that you want, then you have to look at it as more than that. You have to make the commitment. And actually, it's no different a commitment than you made to get to the levels of success you already have in other areas of your life. There just isn't. But for some reason, we tend to think that somehow we're going to get the results we want with this without putting in that same amount of work. And that's just not going to happen. It's just not. But Rick, there was a piece you were saying about the assessments, because I think a self-assessment is so important for all of us. Don't you think that the assessment piece, being willing to do that before convention, and then being willing to set in place before convention, follow-on events and calls and activities with customers and prospects, really speaks to the level of belief we have in ourselves and our ability to succeed?
I think it does, and again, that's why I think that goal statement and that thought process is so very, very important. everybody's always sensitive to the scripture, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't get to the point where you really think that you're successful, let me just say like this. You'll never be successful past your ability, trust me, you'll never be successful past your ability to see yourself being successful. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. So it's very important that you have to have that belief in yourself and think enough that I can do this, I can be successful. You have got to get that ingrained within yourself. And that's why those goal statements are so very important, that you write them down, read it every day and night. If you have to, do like any other tape recorder and just play it every day and every night. And you're going to find that what you repeatedly hear, you will inevitably believe, and you'll become so convinced, that you're going to be successful at doing whatever it is that you endeavor. But since you're talking about Mark America, that what happens because as a result of your thought process, your actions will fall directly in line to the way that you're thinking. I'm telling you, see it every day.
And you see, the thing is, I'm sorry, I just need to add this point to what you're just saying. The challenge there is, if you listen to yourself like you're doing, you will either put the actions in place to do those things to get there, or you will stop listening to yourself.
Right.
Because you just no longer can stand it.
There you go.
And that can be okay, because then you're just acknowledging, this is really not what I want at this point in my life.
Right. And see, please understand this also. There will be opposition. But don't faint at the first time something doesn't go exactly how you plan. So see, that's where it really shows up. What is your level of commitment? If a team gets behind in the fourth quarter, they don't just throw in the towel. But look, guys, it's fourth quarter. There's no way we can win.
Right. They don't do like we do and just change the channel.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Change channel. You have to keep playing. There's gonna be some times where it's, you know, it's like, man, it sounds like what I explained. Okay. That's okay. But just keep on going. Just keep on going anyway. I'm telling you, if you continue to apply yourself, you remain consistent. Like Theo was saying earlier, keep the belief in yourself that I want. See, here's the thing. You're going to get so convinced that in your mind, I refuse to fail. I refuse to fail.
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm the kind of person I shared with you last time that I'm a runner. And I take a long run usually on Saturday mornings, 10, 12 miles on Saturday mornings. I tell my wife before I leave the house, here's the thing. You know who I am, so you know no matter how tired I get or how fatigued I become, I will not quit. So I'm going to tell you the route I'm going to take. If I'm not back in an hour, just call 911.
That's right, because I'm laying on the side of the road.
Exactly. Because I just refuse. And you have to have a mindset like that. There's no way I'm going to quit. I have dedicated myself. I have made an investment monetarily. I'm going to make an investment also with my time, with my energy. And because I've made that investment, I will not cheat on myself. I will complete this task. I refuse to do otherwise. It's just that simple. It is not an option for me not to be successful in this business.
You know, what you said there about cheating on yourself, I think that's the critical element for belief.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you, how do you see the difference between people who believe they'll achieve their goals and go ahead and attend convention and those who attend convention but don't believe?
Right.
And that's what it gets down to. That's the answer. Are you willing to keep your word to yourself?
Exactly.
Which is the way I choose to define commitment. And I want to touch for a second on what you said about writing your goals down. I know we all keep hearing it, and I know half the people don't, and I'll bet if we said, within 10 minutes of this conference call ending, I want you all to fax me your goal statement, I wonder how many we would actually get in that are already prepared, that they don't have to recreate once the call ends. But the challenge is, you're writing your goal statement down because you don't want to cheat yourself, okay, and your family. Some people are writing their goal statement down simply because that's what other people say they should do,
right.
Simply because that's what comes from the stage. But at some point, you have to decide that this belief is personal. This belief is only about you, even though generally we speak to the fact that it's not about you. When it comes to the kind of self-sustaining belief that you need to carry forward, it is about you. And I was thinking about the number of things we believe that may not be true. And if they aren't true, does that really mean that we can't move forward? And in particular, Rick, you were talking about the written goal statement.
Right.
And I know that almost all of us have heard probably 50 million times the story about the Yale study on people writing down their goals. Well, I was doing some research, and I'm just going to give you this information as one of those beliefs that may not be true. And if it's not true, what difference does it make? Okay? so many times we talk about the people who attended that school in 1953. Sometimes it's Yale, sometimes it's Harvard. I've heard it be in so many different universities, it's not even funny. 3% wrote it down, and then 20 years later they found that that 3% had accumulated more personal financial wealth than the other 97%. Now, is it good to write your goals down? Yes. Do you write them down just because of this study? No. What if the study wasn't true? This person who did the research went to people like Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins and Brian Tracy, and all in an effort to find the source for this study, and they couldn't find it. And they went to Yale, and they couldn't find it. Now, what if they never, ever find it? Does it mean that what you're sharing about the importance of written goal statements doesn't matter? Of course it doesn't mean any such thing. The only belief that matters is whether you think you can get where you want to get to, and if you're going to get somewhere, you need to have a map, and your goal statement is that map. And going to convention without that doesn't seem to me to be the best use of your time, your energy, and your financial resources. Now, Rick, when you were talking about how difficult it was for some people to make that kind of commitment to get to the level of saying and believing and knowing that they won't quit, I know convention is just an event in the process of the many things that we're going to be involved in. But could you share how absolutely important it is for people to admit where they are before convention in order to know what to do when convention ends?
That's a very good point. You see, that's why I say it's a self-assessment. You have to be honest with yourself. Even if you don't tell nobody else, don't lie to yourself. I think there's an old saying, above all, tell your own self be true.
Right.
It's just like taking a trip, and you're trying to go to Detroit, Michigan. And if you don't know where you already are, then the map that you get for yourself is going to be off. Because what were you starting from? You see what I'm saying there?
That's
you have
right.
to know where you are in order to know what strategic plan that you need to put in place to get you to where you want to go. If you say that, well, I'm already in Philadelphia, but you're really in South Carolina, you've got a problem.
Yeah, it's going to make a big difference.
There you go, because you're set on driving a certain number of hours, and you're going to find out you've got to drive a whole lot longer than you thought because you weren't where you were to begin with. Everybody see what I'm saying there?
Right.
So it's very important to be able to honestly assess yourself, like, you know what? I've never even started doing the business yet. I mean, I've signed up, I paid the money, and so on and so forth. I went through some, you know, through some second looks. Have you really started? Have you really committed to it? And this takes a commitment. And then again, like T.H. said earlier, there's nothing wrong if you decide, you know what? All I want is $300 a month. That's all I want anyway. Great. Great. Then do what's necessary to get $300 a month. But if you want more than that, now if you want to make like $109,000 or $218,000 or $327,000, they're going to take a certain level of commitment to get there. It's just like anything else. There are athletes out there who are very good at the high school level. Well, great. Maybe they didn't have a talent. Maybe they didn't have a commitment to play college sports. You never know. But at the same time, if you're looking at being a professional, I'm going to tell you right now, this will require more than what you did when you were in high school.
Absolutely. Same thing when you go to college.
Same thing.
Right. Same thing you go to college from high school. You're an A student in high school, and suddenly you're in college and you're making C's, and you're struggling to make C's. It's a different level. It's a different playing field. And you can play on whichever field you want. You just have to get the capacity and the qualifications and the experience and exposure necessary to be successful at that particular level. And I think the beauty of convention, even though it can be a bit overwhelming, is for you to be able to pause for a second and see just how serious you really are about this business. And then realign your goals however you need to so that they work for you. Not so they work for me or they work for Rick or they work for your sponsor or anybody else in this entire organization. This has to work for you because the only person who can put in the time and energy and generally the financial resources necessary to achieve success, whether you're going to convention or not, is you. And the only person who absolutely winds up having to answer for what you've done with your time, energy, and financial resources, again, is you. And I think it's just important that whether you go to convention or not, you need to take the time, as Rick was saying, to do the self-assessments, to decide what you want from your life first, and then how this vehicle can fit into helping you achieve those goals, and then what are you willing to do to get it, and are you willing to work as hard as necessary? Because it is going to be hard. It is definitely not easy. It's a simple plan, as Robert used to say, but it's not easy. But I don't think any of us have ever had any real success in our life where we could look back and say it was easy. It was necessary, but generally we don't see that it was easy. But we most always see that it was, but important enough and definitely worth the effort that we put into it.
Definitely worth the effort. If you go to the labor, you know, to use the analogy of a woman who's giving birth. If you go to the labor and you actually birth that child, I'm telling you, how quickly you forget how painful it was.
Yeah, that's why you don't have good sense and you go on and you have more than one. Because you really do forget. It's like, so you look at your achievements in the past and you forget the amount of work that you put into it. There's no way you're going to willingly put yourself through all that, but you see beyond that piece. So you're absolutely right. I think what we really wanted to stress with you all is we want you to enjoy convention, and we want you to have a good time there, but we want you to maximize your time there, your energy there. We want you to look in advance at the sessions as much as possible. Choose when you absolutely must be in your seat. Divide the training sessions up among your team members so that if you can't attend this one, someone else can. Remember, you're not going there to spend your very last dime.
Yes.
Make a plan. Work together. You don't need every single product if that's not in your store of choice. You don't need every single packet of brochures. You can go in with someone else on the team, and you can share those. Because remember, you're going home to begin the introduction process. You'll have an opportunity to order more at another time. But we want you to go with the plan so that you can come back and achieve the results that match with the goals that you set. And for sure, everyone needs to make sure that your goal statement is current and as accurate as possible before convention.
Right.
Okay,
so
you know what you're working towards and what it's going to take for you to get there. And plus, if you come to convention with your goal statement redefined, then you can ask us some questions about what you need to do. But if you don't even have a current one, then it's just not going to be possible for us to share or offer any insights that can help you along your path. I see we're going to be running out of time here shortly. Rick, would you just share some final thoughts you might have with the group?
One thing I would share with the group, you know, and I asked this last time, is just some questions to ponder to yourself. No one else has done the answer is, again, where am I right now? What are my goals? Where am I trying to go with Market America? And what things do I need to do in order to get there? If you were in this business last year, you went to leadership school, or you were at convention in 2005, are you better off today than you were this time last year? And if you are not, why not? And then the other question would be, what did you plan to be? Because if you didn't have a goal where you plan to be this time, this time this year, there's no wonder you aren't there.
Right.
Ask yourself those questions. And then use the convention as a tool, again, to get you to where you want to go. Ask yourself those serious questions. Have a good time and enjoy. There's nothing wrong also if you see someone else from this forum. You can speak to them. It's okay.
That's right.
You know, I found that are so strange when I walk out in the corridor. I see other people who may be a part of this forum, and you all walk by each other and won't even acknowledge that the person is even alive. You know, I'm wondering what's up with that. But anyway, that's just...
That speaks to the importance of community and understanding that when you answer the questions that Rick has just shared with you, where you are, where did you plan to be, who do you want to help, and who is available to help you? You see, that all ties together, and we can't be available to help one another unless we know one another, and unless we are willing to share with one another that we're having a particular challenge with this area, with retailing or with recruiting.
That's my point exactly.
And not just that I'm having a challenge, but here are some things I've tried that weren't successful. What else do you recommend? That's different than saying, tell me everything I need to do. Okay, we want to help one another. We want to be there for one another. But mostly we want to encourage you to take the time necessary to sit down and decide, answer those questions that Rick asked, because those questions will tell you everything you need to do to get to where you want to get to. And it'll also tell you that in many ways you did achieve your goal if you are not where you wanted to be, yet you did nothing different. Then you really did achieve the goal. You just achieved the unwritten goal. based on your accurate and current actions, you wound up in a place that is a direct match to the level of effort that you put in. And that might not, you know, might sound a little harsh, but it generally, at least I find in my life, when I'm totally not in, on track with what I need to be doing, the results match perfectly with what I was or wasn't doing.
Keep in mind, this event is not free. You pay for this. Make sure you get your money's worth.
Absolutely.
Here when you come, get your money's worth. Take something away from the event that you can use and apply to your business on a daily basis.
And you can immediately, I think everything you learn from the training, from the exposure to the new products and the information, I think that you can, within 60 days of convention, if you plan your follow-ups before you leave, I think you can recover every dime that you spent for your convention expenses. Absolutely. We've been able to do that every single year, and I'm quite confident that everybody on the call can do the same.
No question about it. Use your retail business to liquidate all your overhead expenses.
Right, so that you can be operating your business from that position of strength, which is really a position of financial integrity. You know, and in our community, that's critically important because it is almost impossible for us to talk to someone about this business when we're sitting there flat broke.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even do that kind of posturing because you know in your heart that it's not accurate and it's not truthful and it doesn't match you, and therefore you're not able to pull that off. And we don't want you to pull that off. We want you to use the tools you have available and legitimately be able to claim that your business is paying for itself. Okay? And the Feed Your Mind quote, and of course you don't have to write this down. If I have your email information, I'll send it to you. The quote for this week is, we may not have all the power we want, but we have all the power we need. All we have to do is believe it and use it. Again, it's, we may not have all the power we want, but we have all the power we need. All we have to do is believe it and use it.